Winning the lottery has never really been one of those things that's been high on my list of things that I would hope that would happen to me. Now, that's not to say that I wouldn't mind having a few million dollars dropped in my lap at some time, no strings attached, no questionable ways of obtaining that money. Just think of all of the things that you could do if you had such a wonderful windfall. You could help so many poor people in this world, and you could buy some really cool electronic stuff for yourself. You could help out your family members who were in desperate times and maybe buy a really great car for yourself while you're at it. You could go on a long vacation. You could expand your wardrobe. Oh, and you could give some of that money to the church. Many times, it's an afterthought, isn't it? We're blessed with something fantastic, and the first thing that comes into our minds is not responding to God in giving Him thanks. As we contemplate this account of Jesus healing these 10 lepers, think about responding to the blessings of God. Now, at least for the lepers in the text, you would think that it would be a natural thing, a natural response to respond in some way to a blessing from God. After all, think about their lives, the lives of these leprous men. They were in constant physical pain. What with their skin turning whitish gray and their limbs and their extremities being in danger of falling off because they were numb and they couldn't feel them anymore. On top of that, leprosy was mentally painful because you were considered to be ceremonially unclean. You had to live outside of the village or the town. And if anyone ever came approaching you who was not a leper, you had to say, "Unclean, unclean," so that that person would not be in danger of becoming ceremonially unclean himself. You had to live by yourself or with a group of other lepers. It was a very difficult and painful way of life. So imagine the excitement that went through the hearts of these lepers when they heard that Jesus was coming to their village. Apparently, they had heard about the wonders that Jesus had worked, the miracles He had performed. They knew that He had healed other people of their physical ailments. Would there be a chance that He would help them too? Was there a chance that they might finally be freed from this debilitating disease and be able to rejoin their families and their communities? Surely Jesus, their master, would help, wouldn't He? Don't you wonder what went through these lepers' minds when Jesus told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests"? You see, that was the requirement that was to be fulfilled after you had been healed of your leprosy. According to Leviticus 13, the priest was the one who had to examine a person who had been leprous and determine whether or not he was healed or cured, and then he would declare that person clean, ceremonially clean. And yet Jesus didn't speak any words of healing as He came up to these men. He didn't go up to them and lay His hands on them as He had done in other times when He healed people. He simply told them to go and show themselves to the priests. And somewhere along the way, they looked at their hands and their arms and their feet and their legs, and they looked at each other's faces, and they realized that they had been healed. How could they not be excited? We can almost imagine that they would start sprinting to get to the priest as soon as possible. After all, the sooner that they got there, the sooner they would be restored to their former lives. But one of the healed men stopped. He stopped and turned about. He realized that something was missing. His thoughts of going to the priest and being declared cured, being declared clean, were interrupted by other thoughts. There was a wave of gratitude that crashed over his soul. And he went back to Jesus. And he didn't have to yell unclean anymore. But he threw himself on the ground with his face in the dirt and he gave thanks to Jesus. This man, this Samaritan, in fact, who had not only been an outcast because of his leprosy, but who would be considered by faithful Jews to be no better than a dog because he was a Samaritan, this man knew the necessity of thanking Jesus for this incredible blessing, this blessing of healing. The faith that he had shown in Jesus in the first place in asking for help also showed itself in returning to thank Jesus and to praise him for that wonderful blessing. Now, I don't know that there's anyone here this evening who has suffered the ravages of leprosy. Maybe there are some of us who have suffered from some other serious disease or potentially life-threatening disease. But for most of us, it's probably difficult really to put ourselves in the shoes of these lepers, to know what it's like, to know the pain and the misery and the anguish, but then to know the exact opposite, the incredible relief of being healed and restored, of being rescued, of being given new life. But I contend that you don't need to have been healed of any serious disease, of cancer or heart disease or from a stroke, to know the incredible power of your master. You see, when you were born dying. You had what we know as original sin in you, and that original sin would affect everything about you. It would only cause spiritual death. It would affect your thoughts, your actions, your entire life, even your view of your Creator. Oh, sure, maybe you would have some fun along the way, getting sucked into sin's grasp as it tried to get you to fulfill every desire and whim that could come into your mind. But where would it lead you in the long run? Going along with sin would only lead to one place, down that wide and easy path that leads straight into the fires of hell. But more than likely, most of you here this evening at some point did an about face, or should I say more properly, the Holy Spirit turned you around. You probably don't remember the day when Jesus spoke to you and he said, "You are my child now. I've washed all of your sins away. You see, I've died for you. I've died to take the punishment you deserved. I've died to take your hell for you. And now you're part of my family. And someday I'll bring you to be with me in your true home of heaven." If that voice came to you as a little baby when you were baptized, you really didn't have the capacity to thank Jesus for that incredible blessing. But what about now? What about every day? What about every day when you return in your baptism and to your baptism as you repent of your sins? What about every day when you're washed clean again from all of those death-causing sins? How can we help but respond in thanks for such an incredible blessing? Don't take that blessing for granted. Consider the mercies of your master, the mercies that are new every day, and continue to give him thanks and praise for his forgiveness. Amen.